ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Fourth Canto, chapter 29. There's no chapter 29 there. Oh, sorry, it's down there. Oh, up there it's different. Chapter 2. At the top right hand side is different. chapter 29, text number 45. Shabda Brahmani Dushpare Charanta Uru Vistare Mantra Lingai Vyavachinam Pajanto Shabda Brahmani in the Vedic literature, Dushpare, unlimited, Charantaha, being engaged, Uru, greatly, Vishtare, expansive, Mantra of Vedic hymns, Lingai, by the symptoms. Vyavachinam, partially powerful, the demigods. Bhajantaha, worshipping. Na vidur.
They do not know.
Param,
the Supreme.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Despite the cultivation of Vedic knowledge, which is unlimited, and the worship of different demigods by the symptoms of Vedic mantras, demigod worship does not help us, it does not help one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead responsively. Despite the cultivation of Vedic knowledge, which is unlimited, and the worship of different demigods by the symptoms of Vedic mantras, demigod worship does not help one to understand the Supreme Powerful Personality of Godhead. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kamais Tais Tai Rita Jana Prapadyante Nyadevataha Tam Tam Niyamam Ashtaya Prakritya Niyata Svaya. Those whose minds are disturbed by material desire surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Most people are interested in worshipping demigods to acquire powers. Each demigod has a particular power. For instance, the demigod Indra, the king of heaven, has power to shower rain on the surface of the globe to give sufficient vegetation to the earth. This demigod is described in the Vedas, Vrajahasta Purandara. Indra rules the water simply with a thunderbolt in his hand. The thunderbolt itself is controlled by Indra. Similarly, other demigods, Agni, Varuna, Chandra, Surya, have particular powers. All these demigods are worshipped in the Vedic hymns through a symbolic weapon. Therefore, it is said here, Mantra Lingai Vyavarach Chinam. By such worship, Kamais may obtain the benediction of material opulence in the form of animals, riches, beautiful wives, many followers, and so on. By such material opulence, however, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyana Timurandasya Kananjana Shalakya Chakshurvin Maritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhule Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nevishishi Shunyavari Kashka Chadajitarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular verse is specifically relating to the point that demigod worship will not help one to understand the powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. I remember when I first joined Krishna Consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada would often repeat this, how worship of the demigods will not give, lead one to Krishna, will not help one to understand the ultimate absolute truth, who is Krishna. And I was wondering why he was emphasizing that all the time, because Srila Prabhupada only taught us about Krishna. And we didn't know anything else except Krishna. We didn't know, we knew more about the Krishna than what we knew about the demigods. So after being, after encountering many people from the Vedic culture, from Indian community and Indian communities around the world, it became more apparent what Srila Prabhupada was, Prabhupada was talking about. Because when we would preach to certain people, we would encounter that they would be worshipping the demigods. And they would worship, particularly here in West Bengal, the worship of goddess Kali is very common, very popular. So then we began to understand, then I began to understand that people are worshipping someone other than Krishna. And in fact, when we go through the Bhagavad Gita, we find that worship of the demigods is described as worship in the mode of goodness. And it's not really such a bad thing. And then worse than worshipping the demigods is to worship worship in the mode of passion, which is to worship some materialistic person who's perhaps what's a good example? Maybe a famous boxer, you know, Cassius Clay, or you know, who's in, totally in the mode of passion. They worship people like that, and they idolize people like that. And then there's worship in the mode of ignorance, where people worship ghosts and spirits in the trees and things like that. So there's worship in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. So worship of the demigods is not transcendental. This is the point. It's worship in the mode of goodness, but it's not transcendental worship. Whereas what Srila Prabhupada has taught us, and the specific point that's been made in this particular verse, is that by worshipping the demigods, one would not be able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Because worship of Krishna is transcendental. There is no... Krishna is beyond all the modes of material nature. So there's this distinctive difference which, when we're preaching, I mean, throughout my... many years of Krishna consciousness I've encountered while preaching on behalf of ISKCON, we encounter many members of the Indian community who worship the demigods. And so how do we deal with this? Now, I remember that when I first joined Krishna consciousness, we used to think, oh, worshipping of the demigods is like something really demoniac. That, oh, that because Prabhupada would condemn it in quite a strong way that we would misinterpret in our early days, at least me. Well, not only me, but some other devotees as well. To the point that if somebody else was worshipping the demigods, it was considered that they were like demoniac. It was something really demoniac to do, which was a little bit of an overreaction, because... actually, that worship is in the mode of goodness, and from that worship in the mode of goodness, it can such people can be cultivated. And in fact, there was some people I was preaching to in Indonesia. They were worshiping the demigods, and not only the demigods, but they were worshiping something far worse than that, which was, I don't know if I should mention it, but anyway, Sai Baba. But and that worship is definitely not in the mode of goodness. He's not a demigod. And there was a picture of him on the wall with the universal form. And he's got, you know, the big hair, and the picture is going right up the wall. So when I started preaching to these people in Indonesia about Krishna, worship of Krishna is transcendental, and worship of the demigods is in the mode of goodness, and worship of their favorite guru, Sai Baba, was something else. I just had to say something else for that time being. I couldn't say it was what it really was, and it's so unmentionable I can't mention it here, but it's unmentionable. That kind of worship. So after preaching to that family for about 4 years, long story short, is that the big picture of Sai Baba disappeared. They started worshiping Radha Krishna, and with the understanding that worship of Krishna is transcendental, and that worship of the demigods and the benefit that you get is temporary. So they were so intelligent enough to be able to understand that. It was quite amazing that they took to the preaching, because quite often we encounter people, it doesn't matter how many times you tell them, it doesn't seem to sink in. So worship of the demigods is, as is pointed out here, will not help us to understand Krishna. However, we find that the gopis worship God as Kachayani. So is that not demigod worship? We find that Princess Rukmini was worshipping God as Durga. Is that not worship of the demigods? We find in the Krishna book, Prabhupada describes how the Kshatriyas and the Vaishnava Kshatriyas would also worship God as Durga to get wealth in order to rule their kingdom. Prabhupada specifically explains it like that. So is this not a contradiction? No, because Prabhupada explains that when devotees in that context worship the demigods, like for example the gopis, goddess Kachayani, and the Vaishnava Kshatriyas worshipping Durga, and also Princess Rukmini worshipping Durga, they are worshipping the demigods in order to get the favor of Krishna in a Krishna conscious way. That worship is actually different. Srila Prabhupada explains it like that. But it's not to say that we should do that. But in the ancient Vedic culture, we find examples of that. So Srila Prabhupada specifically, of course, you know, the option is there. Sometimes we encounter people who are just really stuck on demigod worship. They don't want to give it up, but they like the devotees because they're worshipping. Sometimes we come across someone who's worshipping Goddess Durga. So Goddess Durga is Krishna's sister. So that person is worshipping Krishna's sister, and I'm worshipping, you know, the brother who is Krishna of the person they're worshipping. So we're surely compatible. We don't have to heavy them out. We don't have to get, overreact or condemn them. But rather, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita that let not the wise disrupt the minds of the ignorant, but rather engage them in works of devotion. And in fact, this is what we did in this particular case in Indonesia. We engaged them in doing so much service for Srila Prabhupada's movement, for the preaching and for ISKCON. And by that service, they actually underwent a change. They went from worshipping Krishna's sister to Durga's brother, who is Krishna, which is transcendental. So there's a difference. So the difference in the worship is that by worshipping, of course, they would worship Durga for material reasons. But it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if you have material motivations, akama, savakama, va, moksha kama, hudaradiya, that if you are full of material desires, or whether you have no material desires, or whether you're desirous of moksha or liberation, just worship Krishna. And then you will get your material desires. But the recommendation is to go through Krishna to get your material desires. But in Vedic culture, still we find the gopis worshipping goddess Kachayani in order to get Krishna. So there's a difference.
Whereas when the other way of worshipping the demigods is to get sense gratification, is to get material uploads, as Srila Prabhupada explains here, so that they can get material opulence in the form of animals, riches, beautiful wives, many followers, and so on. By such material opulence, however, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the danger of opulence is Bhagavishvarya Prashaktanam Tyaparita Chedasam. Vyavasan Yatmika Buddhi Samadhu Na Vidhiyate, that in the minds of those who are bewildered by material opulence and sense gratification, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. This is the problem with material opulence, is it bewilders the mind. And it distracts the mind, it weakens the mind, and it prevents the mind from engaging in samadhuna vidhiyate, from engaging in the service of Krishna. So, whether or not a devotee has opulence is dependent upon Krishna. We find very nice descriptions in Krishna book when Krishna was going with his friends from Dwarka. He was entering Mathura, and the description that's given there is that as they walked past, that you would find many different residential buildings. And it describes that specifically there was the buildings of the rich people, and there was the buildings of the of those who had less. So there were different types of devotees and living accommodations, even within Mathura and also within Dwarka. So whether or not a devotee attains opulence in the service of Krishna is dependent upon Krishna. Krishna will see how this devotee might use that opulence. And if a devotee is able to use that opulence in Krishna's service, then Krishna will allow it. Just like Srila Prabhupada explains in his own personal situation, how he was destined to be, you know, very, very opulent, but then Krishna took it all away and then gave it all back. And so sometimes we notice with devotees, Krishna can do that. He can take it away and bring it back. One time I was in the Nairobi temple. I was temple president there, and I used to handle the life members, the Gujarati community. So I've had a lot of experience in, how can I say, preaching to Indian communities, especially the Gujarati community, who are very pious by nature. So one man, he came and he said, "Oh, I'm afraid to worship Krishna because Krishna is going to take everything away. He is Lord Hari. He's going to take away. Why should I worship him? He's going to take away." He was so afraid. So the answer I gave him, I said, "He's only going to take it away if he sees you're going to kill yourself with it. He's looking after your interest." Just like a parent might say to a child, "Look, you know, I'm not going to give you the keys to this car because you're not old enough to drive it. If you start driving, you're going to put it over a cliff and you're going to kill yourself and wreck the car." So for the protection of the child, the parent will not give, you know, particular opulence at a particular time. So when Krishna is ready, or when the devotee is ready, then Krishna will be ready, and Krishna will give the devotee the amount of opulence that he or she needs. Just like with Srila Prabhupada, we see that Krishna bestowed immense opulence on Srila Prabhupada, and he utilized it all over the world, and simply engaged it all in Krishna's service. So the motivation for most people for worshipping for worshipping the demigods is this material opulence. They want material sense gratification. But a devotee need not go, we need not go to the demigods. And Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he also was desiring material opulence. So Narada Muni told him to worship Krishna. He gave him the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He didn't instruct him to worship any of the demigods. So, and we often come across devotees who are enthusiastic for 10 years and all of a sudden they want material desires. So we should encourage them to worship Krishna more. Why not? If somebody must desire material things, then go to Krishna. Of course, we shouldn't desire anything material. But if we must, then we should go to Krishna and not the demigods. Just as Dhruva Maharaj recited the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, a very powerful mantra, so perfectly that he was given all the opulence more opulence than what he dreamed of. He was given a whole kingdom. He was given almost unlimited opulence. But when he attained all that opulence, and after being purified by the process of devotional service, he said, actually, I'm not interested in the opulence anymore. I'm only interested in love of Krishna. So that's the advantage of steering people towards Krishna, is that by approaching Krishna, we become purified. Even if we have material desires, by approaching Krishna, those material desires become purified. And eventually, we only want to be engaged in devotional service to Krishna. So therefore, here in Sridhar Mayapur, of course, we don't find any demigod worship, I don't believe. Is there any demigod worship in Mayapur? Actually, up in the yoga pit, isn't there a deity of Lord Shiva? Yes. So, but the way Srila Prabhupada set things up in ISKCON is that we only worship Krishna, we only worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in fact, the first time I came to Mayapur was in 1973, and at that time there was just a little bhajan kirtan at the front there, and I was in Calcutta, and Bhavananda, then Swami, said, you should go to Mayapur. And I said, oh, okay, whatever Krishna wants. But in those days, if somebody told you to go to Mayapur, those days it was unbelievable. There was like when we were in this cold weather, we didn't even have warm clothes. We would sometimes get around the fire, and get warm from the fire. It was very, very austere, but amazingly sweet with the ecstasy of being at the beginning of something. So Janani Vas Prabhu was there, and he's still here. This was 73, 83, 93, 2003, that's 40 years ago. So 40 years ago, just under 40 years ago, Janani Vas was there, and now he's still here. He's hardly moved. And during that time, a Of course, I liked Mayapur so much at that time, I thought, I only want to stay here. I don't want to go. I never want to leave Mayapur. Because it was so nice. And then in 75, I got second initiation from Srila Prabhupada on Guru Purnima Day in the Lotus Building. And it was the most fortunate day of my life. But just shortly after that, Brahmananda then Swami came to me and says, why are you here in Mayapur only thinking of your own liberation? You should, if you really want Srila Prabhupada's mercy, you should go to Africa and preach. And he was just totally politicking. He wanted men, you know, to go to his zone in Africa. But in those days, he was like Srila Prabhupada's shadow. Wherever Srila Prabhupada went. He was, you know, big, muscular bodyguard, sannyasi. So if he said it, I had to do it. Okay, this is Krishna talking. So I got, only many years later, I realized that he politicked me out of Mayapur. So after all these years of, you know, preaching in various places, it's good to be back in Mayapur and try to do a little bit of seva for Srila Prabhupada in this most amazing ISKCON World Headquarters. This is the ISKCON World Headquarters, and we can see that what we are all products of Srila Prabhupada. You know, to put it into a bit of an unusual analogy, but we're all his products. We're all produced by him. And it's amazing how many products he has. And where they're coming from. Like last year I was in the restaurant and about 20 Chinese devotees came in. So, oh my God, Srila Prabhupada created a Chinese product. All these wonderful, and it looked like they came from Vaikuntha. It was like your hairs were standing on end when you see these different devotees. The power and the potency that Srila Prabhupada's preaching has had all over the world, it still goes on. The amazing thing is it hasn't died out, but it's still an undivided, you know, it's still ever increasing.